Party Time! That's our title today. That's a fun one, right? Luke 15, 1 through 10 is our text this morning. Last week, we heard from just before this, Jesus was talking about weighing the cost of being a disciple and really being able to put aside everything else in our lives to follow Jesus. And in the end, we discovered that, you know, with the is the cost worth it? Yes, it's worth it. It's worth it. It really is. This week, we look at a different angle of salvation and being a disciple. On the one hand, we can say it's costly. On the other hand, we can say it's free and easy as well. As we get into the text today, as we hear that, we have two groups of people that are mentioned, and we'll have a look at kind of contrasting the two as they are being presented to us here by Luke as he's recording what Jesus' interaction with them. So I want to invite you to stand as you are able as I read from Luke 15, 1 through 10 this morning. Luke 15, 1 through 10, reading in Jesus' name. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this parable that Jesus told and the lesson that we learned from it. And I ask that you would guide our hearts and our minds to hear what you have for us in this today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I'll invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front. Come on up. Anybody else coming up? Come on. We have a few more over here. All right. You guys got a spot to sit over here? All right. A little bit? Moving around a little bit? Adjusting? All right. Okay. Hey, guys, I have a question for you. Have you ever lost something that you really like? You have?
Uh-huh. And I lost it.
Oh.
It took me 3 days to find it.
3 days. Did you find it, though?
Yeah, it was on my Lego
table. Oh, it was right on your Lego table, huh? It was probably just sitting there the whole time, and you just didn't see it. Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of fun when you found it again, though, right? Were you excited?
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody else have something that you lost? You had to find it. Did it get lost?
Every time I sleep with it just goes on the ground and then it's gone.
Does it walk away while you're sleeping?
No,
that little stuffy?
Maybe she drops it.
Ah, that could be. Yep. Roll around. Oh, wow. Okay. Did you lose something too? Sometime? What did you lose?
Yeah. So one time, I think it was when I was four.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a blue tablet. Okay.
And then I lost it for 2 months.
Oh, you lost it for 2 months? So the tablet was gone and it was lost for 2 months?
Like a year.
Oh, I'll bet it did. 2 months is a long time. Did you find it? And then?
Well, my mom
found it. She found it. Okay. Great. Great. You lost an iPad for 3 days? Wow. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes somebody loses their phone and It probably, for an hour, it probably feels like a whole year for some people, right? What's that? You lost your tooth. Well, that's true. That's something you lost. Did you have to go around looking for it? No? Okay. You have something else? We'll hear one more here, too.
I was playing with my brother Micah with the Legos.
Mm-hmm.
But then I lost probably this Lego.
Oh. Really
cool.
Yeah, you lost a cool Lego, huh?
And it was probably about 3 months.
3 months. Wow. Okay. Did you lose something? We'll hear one more.
I lost part of my telephone Lego set.
Oh.
And
oh, so you're building, you were, had one set, you lost part of it, and then when you were building another set, then you found the other ones, huh? Oh, wow, okay. Did you guys, cool, that's fun, especially when you find it, right? I hope that if you lose something special, you're able to find it again. Did you hear what was lost in what I read? Jesus was telling a story, about two different stories. Did you hear what people lost that they found later? A sheep and a coin, right? And was it easy to find, or did it sound like there was a little bit of work to really find those things again? What do you think? There was probably a lot of looking, and then was it like, oh, okay, I found it again? Or what was the response when they found what they had lost? You know, what did they do when they found it?
When they found it, they used it.
They used it? Well, what else did they do? They had a party. They had a party, didn't they? Yeah. Well, I've got here, there's a shepherd with a sheep. He's up on a hill here, and the other sheep are down in the pasture. So he found his lost sheep. Let's see, I'm gonna do this time, hand those to you. Let's see, here we go. Could you hand some of those out? So that's what you've got for today. You have a question?
Imagine if he changes the story. This man lost a sheep.
Uh-huh. That would be a very difficult story. If he lost the one, went to find it, and all the other 99 went away, right? Yeah. Yeah. All right, thanks for coming up, guys. Yeah, that would be a lot of work after that, wouldn't it? Then he'd have to go after all 99. I don't know about that one. Well, you know, the end of last Sunday's text, as we heard Jesus talking about the cost of being a disciple, you know, he said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And as we get to today's reading, we have some who were gathering around Jesus, following him, for that very reason, to hear what he was talking about. And then we also have some others who were hearing what Jesus was saying and weren't really listening. They weren't really hearing it. So we have some that were hearing it and it sounded really good. And so they were following him, and others really didn't like what they were hearing because they weren't hearing it correctly. So who was it that was gathering around Jesus? Well, the first one was it's described by Luke as tax collectors and sinners. And the tax collectors were those that, you know, for the Jewish people, the tax collectors were servants of the Roman Empire. And so they were seen as, first of all, traitors to their people because they were serving a foreign government that was oppressing them. They were seen as extorters because they would take more than what they were required to, and they would just keep it for themselves. So they were really enemies of the people for them. And then you had this other group that's simply called sinners. And, you know, obviously as we read it, we understand it's not, well, maybe it's obvious, but we understand that it's not just talking about people who do sin, who commit sin, because that's true of everyone. Although maybe some people thought they didn't, and maybe today still people think they don't. But it's really true of everyone. So this is actually somebody who's living more of a sinful lifestyle. And it was obvious to people that what they were doing was not really following God's desire for them. So we might talk about people that were in disreputable trades, businesses, We might talk about people who live their lives as drunkards or as prostitutes or as in other immoral behavior. So that's this group that was following Jesus and hearing what he was saying. Jesus had a message. He had a message for them, and they were hearing this message, and they were excited about hearing this message. And it wasn't about Jesus joining in their way of life, but it was about Jesus showing them a way out of it. And they wanted it. They wanted what Jesus had to offer. And then we have this other group of people described as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The Pharisees were a very strict religious group that looked at the rules that God had given for following him. And then in order to make sure that they were following those rules, they added more and more rules to make sure that they would never break one of God's rules. And they many times, probably often, really had good intentions to be following God as they did this. But it really just became a legalistic lifestyle. And the teachers of the law, which some oftentimes are called scribes, if you have a different translation, it might talk about them as the scribes. They were ones that knew. They knew all of these rules as they taught them to the people. Their response to these unwelcome people, the tax collectors and the sinners, as Jesus was welcoming these people and eating with them, the response was one of an objection to what Jesus was doing. As they knew all of the rules, they missed the point. Well, we might think about what either one of these contrasts might mean for us today. There might be some among us, there might be some that we know who feel like those on the outside, the tax collectors and sinners, who may easily feel like, I need a message of hope because I don't know. I don't know what I need to do. I don't. My life isn't good. I need some message from God. And the message that I'm looking for needs to be a message of hope. What does God have for me? There might be others who are more kind of on the inside of the group, feeling on the inside of God's people, part of God's people, and maybe not admit to feeling like these Pharisees and teachers, but really, the sentiment is there. They might hesitate to mix with some people depending on, you know, what their lifestyle is. So there might be hesitation there. Now, the reality is that maybe both of these different things could be true within, maybe many of us have both of these elements within us. Both feeling like we're on the outside and feeling like we're on the inside and kind of excluding sometimes those who are on the outside. Well, in response to the murmuring and objecting that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are doing, Jesus tells a parable. And when we read it, we might say this is two parables, but Luke just says he tells a parable. And what we might do is think of this as actually just a two-part parable, two different stories that are put together to tell the same thing. And so we'll think of it that way, one parable with two parts. Two different angles to it. So he starts out this way and says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? So we start with this sheep. One sheep out of 100. So there are 99 left. And the shepherd goes to find the lost sheep. Now, in answer to the question about, you know, what if he loses all the other 99 sheep as they wander away? Well, the picture here, first of all, that's not necessarily the focus. It's a good question, but it's not really the focus of the parable. And the other thing is, I think as we think about Jesus' story, we can consider in the mind of the shepherd that those 99 are safe enough. They may be together and they'll stick together that way as this one has wandered off. Or there might be another shepherd with them. So the focus is not necessarily on them, but the focus is on the one sheep. One sheep. As someone who is lost, often it's easy to feel like I'm that one sheep. Other people have it fine, but I'm in trouble. And so that's where the focus is here. And as we heard our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel, we find God describing himself as the shepherd. He is the shepherd who gathers the scattered sheep, who gathers them together, who gives shelter, who gives good grazing to his sheep as he finds them. If we were to continue on in that reading, we would find another illustration of sheep there that doesn't exactly correspond to what Jesus was talking about here. But we find that some of the sheep that represent the leaders of the people have taken advantage of the smaller sheep. The more powerful have taken advantage of the smaller. And so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law might hear this and hear that as they hear about the talk about the shepherd, they might be thinking about this part of what is in their teaching there. But if we continued on, we would find that God will be their shepherd, that God would put his true shepherd, and in Ezekiel, he's called his servant David. And we find as we study some of the Old Testament, we find that when we hear David referred to in the future, after David was already dead, we find that most of the time, it's referring to Jesus. And so Jesus will be the shepherd of God's people. And he seeks out the lost. He seeks out each one as a lost sheep. Part two of the parable starts out this way. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? This coin, 1 in 10, is a coin that has tremendous value. It's a big portion of her wealth. And so she searches everywhere. I remember, quite a few years ago, I got into my car outside my apartment building, and I got in, and I looked to the center console, and what I was looking for was a little ring box. And inside this ring was an engagement ring, which was had been my mom's engagement ring, and she had died several years before that. And so I had asked my dad, could I use that engagement ring as I proposed to Mandy? And so I had that ring, I had proposed, and then she had the ring, we had it resized, and then, but there was a problem. I noticed a problem with the ring. And so I kept it to take it back to the jeweler. And as I got into the car at this moment, I looked to where I thought that ring was, and it wasn't there. The box was not there where I thought it was. And so I thought about, where could it be? And I was pretty sure I had it in the car right there. And so I thought back, where could this ring be? I thought, did I carry things? Did I actually take it into my apartment? And did I drop it, you know, in on the way? So I looked in on the way, on the walkway. I looked all the way up to my apartment, didn't find it. I thought, is it possible that I left it somewhere else? Wherever I looked, I couldn't find it. I looked all the way through my apartment. I thought, in my room, I thought, could I left it somewhere? Couldn't find it. Then I was thinking, well, see, at the time, my driver door would not open from the inside or from the outside. The latch wouldn't work. And so often I would park in a place where I would leave the door ajar so that when I came back, I didn't have to reach around from the other side and open my door and then go around and get it. So I thought, well, maybe when I went to the grocery store, possibly somebody might have taken it out. I didn't see any other signs of somebody getting into the car, though, so I didn't really think that was true. But I went and I checked out pawn shops. Did anybody drop off a ring at pawn shops? In the end, I never found it. I never found that ring again. And but you can imagine my searching. I was searching everywhere. And I can picture this woman searching everywhere for this coin that she valued so much. You may have something that you have searched for that much. And hopefully you have found it. As we talked to the kids, we heard about things that they had lost, but they found them again. What a wonderful thing to find them again. We understand sometimes this level of searching. And as we think about how important it is for us to find that one thing, we understand a little bit better the amount of searching that God will go to find people, to bring them to him. Also, as we think about this part of the parable, we might hear Jesus talking about the shepherd in the first part as himself, and this woman searching for the coin, possibly representing the church. And we might hear then this idea of, as the master does, his servants and his followers do as well. And indicating that as he searches for people, we also follow him in searching for people. Well, what response do we have here as these things are found? Well, let's go to the sheep. It says, Jesus says, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Well, that's a great start. He's excited to find the sheep. He carries it home on his shoulders. He's excited. But that's not all. When he gets home, he calls all his friends and his neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." Not just the owner himself rejoices, but all of his friends and neighbors are called together to rejoice. And Jesus says, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Rejoicing over just one sinner that comes to God in repentance. And the focus again here is on the 99. And Jesus says, more than 99... The focus is on the one, not the 99. Maybe I said that or maybe I didn't, but that's what I meant. Anyway, the 99 are not the focus. Jesus says they don't need repentance, probably because they're already in, because they already have repented. They're a part of his flock. It could be that he was referencing the Pharisees with their false righteousness, but I think it sounds more likely that that he's talking about those who are already a part and not lost. They're there. They're in. Those who are trusting in him, who are part of that flock, now have their focus turned to those who are not a part of it. And there's rejoicing over those who are entering into God's kingdom. And so we go to part two, to the woman who finds the coin. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." Again, we have friends and neighbors called together to celebrate. Is that a little bit excessive, do you think? If you found something that you had lost, would you run down the street knocking on your neighbor's houses and saying, hey, come on, celebrate. I found a coin. I found this valuable coin that I lost. Well, maybe we would do that. Maybe we would call our friends and celebrate. Maybe it's a little bit of an exaggeration, though. And maybe it's an exaggeration because Jesus is going beyond. He's saying that God goes beyond what is natural in our celebration of finding something. He exaggerates it to show what God is like. God does celebrate in that way, celebrating to the point that it might seem like excessive. But it's the way God celebrates when people come to him. And it's an invitation then, in Jesus' day, to the Pharisees to celebrate with him, and it's an invitation to us as well to celebrate. Not just joyful that we are in, but joyful also when others come in and are found. In the same way, Jesus finishes, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I remember here the line from the movie The Mask, if you remember that, from a while ago. There's a part of that time where he says, "It's party time! P-A-R-T. Why? Because I gotta." And I think that's the attitude that we're finding here. You know, I gotta. I have to party. I have to party. That's God's sentiment, and it's the sentiment that he passes on to us. And Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy. He talks about having been the worst of sinners, even though he was a Pharisee, trained in the law, trained in all of the right things. But he says he was the worst sinner. He's overjoyed at his own salvation, but then he's also looking to others and celebrates when others follow him into where he has found salvation. In these parables, we find, first of all, 100 lost sheep. 100 sheep and one is lost. This is significant. You have one that's lost. One out of many, but he still cares for them. Next time with the coin, it was 10. A little more significant. You have a little larger portion of what he had, of what she had that was lost. In the next verses, if you continue on reading, it's a text we're not going to next week because it fits into a different time of the church year. So we hear that back during the season of Lent. But you probably remember the story. It's the story of the lost son. In that story, then, we're narrowed down to two individuals. As opposed to 100, then we have 10, then we have 2. And in reality, in that story, both of them are lost in his own way. you get time later, read the verses that come after this and hear that story. Both are lost. Both are sought out. And repentance, or the invitation to repentance, is highlighted. As we think about what Jesus has for us here today, we might ask the question, do you need to be found? If you need to be found, Jesus is reaching out to you. He's looking under that chair that you fell down under, if you're that coin. He's searching the valleys, if you are that sheep that has gone astray. Have you been found? Are you celebrating? Are we all celebrating because you have been found? Are your eyes then open to those around you that God is searching for? And are you ready to rejoice when they are found? Ready to participate with God in seeking? God is inviting us. Jesus is inviting us to join Him, to be found by Him, and then to celebrate with those that we also see who are being found. Let's pray. Father, thank you for how easy it is to come into your kingdom because you are searching us out, drawing us to yourself. Thank you for that. Thank you that we get to celebrate because we are part of your kingdom when we trust in you. Thank you that you have given us the opportunity to see others as well come to you, and that we can celebrate also when those who are lost, like we were, also come to you. And we ask that you would help us to be part of seeking out those who are lost. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.